So we had class yesterday. Now we're sitting down and we're just talking about it. And sometimes people will ask questions or make comments. I didn't hear any questions or comments after class. I don't know if you did. And I haven't received any. Yeah, I'm going to admit that. We admit everything here. So I taught the lesson about first birth, which I think probably what, when we teach, I think there's always a regret of, oh, I wish I'd have said that, or I wish I'd have clarified that. And I'm not sure I communicated enough why we're doing this series and what this series really does, which is, I think, for people going through these stages of life or experiencing these big moments is important, but it's also important because we're always interacting with people that have these big moments.
Yeah, I would agree. When you did your intro, I thought to myself as you were kind of going through that, the first thing somebody's going to ask themselves is, why does this lesson matter to me? You know, if I don't have kids or I'm already born again and I already, you know, I know the second birth and I don't want to talk about death because I don't want to die right now. And marriage, I've been there, done that, or I'm already happily married. You know, you kind of dismiss the significance of what those three things mean. And what I enjoyed about the lesson yesterday was it touched on so many things that were relevant, whether you had kids or you didn't have kids, or you've witnessed a birth or you haven't witnessed a birth, or you know, there was takeaways there that are going to be important for people that are going to miss that if they just stuck with what was said in that introduction. You know, those three things.
You mean as far as the three questions?
Well, the three stages that we're talking about, birth, marriage, and death, you know, those three aren't terribly riveting to you to hear that that's what we're going to spend the next 6 weeks or whatever talking about, because you kind of assume you already know. And
Yeah. Especially if, like us, we're not going to have any more kids.
yeah. But that was still relatable to me because we have had that experience. So even with the examples and stuff, and it was still significant to me. You know, we still have interaction with our adult children, we have grandchildren. So there was still enough that was very applicable to me that mattered. And I just think if you wanted that in the introduction, I don't think that was in the introduction of explaining why this is going to matter.
Because it matters. If you're going through it, it matters, you know, as we're trying to draw other people to Christ and we're trying to, you know, interact with neighbors and friends, family, whoever, they're going to be most open to coming closer to Christ or knowing who God is, finding God. That's the title of the thing, finding God in life's biggest moments. They're going to be most open to it then.
Yeah, and I think Christians have a hard time explaining some of the basic principles of their faith. They think they know, but they have trouble articulating things and grasping even what we're going to be talking about next week of that second birth, those principles in a way that they can articulate to somebody else who assumes they already know what that whole Christian deal is.
I think it will be more important next week when we are talking about second birth. This week we were talking about first birth. Was there something that stood out to you in the lesson that really
You're going to be able to edit this down, my long breath, my pauses. Well, I mean, there were several things. There were good things. There was like the one thing I already kind of mentioned to you in the kitchen a little while ago that was left me kind of little, so I don't know which direction you want me to go there.
We'll go with that.
Or do you want to just go through the sequence?
No, we just want to hit the highlights anyway. This isn't going to be long. First of all, what stood out to you? What was kind of a aha or a
Well, just in general, the questions of am I living for things that matter? I don't know that I ever really ask myself that, especially when I was younger. I think I asked myself that as I get older. But the reminder in this lesson, kind of like in our previous lesson of all the who before do, we are living what it matters to us. Mm-hmm. But we don't see it that way, especially, I think, when you're younger. I think as you get older and you see the sand going through the hourglass, you tend to find the significance in things and wanting to make things matter more. And I think that's sometimes why people go into seasons of depression or they go into seasons of midlife crisis, is they are finally asking themselves that question that they should have been asking all along. Mm-hmm. And it makes a little sense of panic set in for them.
Yeah. I think for me, one of the things that really kind of resonated with me was the part on connecting with imagination. The fact that God told them to use stories to teach. And I think we try to do that, but I just think of so many times that I would fall back on, you know, well, this is right, do it, or because I said so, or and being able to connect the stories of scripture and to really think through, you know, especially as kids get older. I mean, they understand the stories on a basic level when they're small, but as they get older, to connect those truths, that kind of was like, yeah, I like that. I'm looking through here. I was also trying to find places that, there were several things that I skipped over in the material that we're using from Tim Keller that just didn't have time for. I'm trying to find them now to see if there was anything that I wanted to mention. But I don't see it offhand.
I loved the ending, the renewal of our vows with our children. Mm-hmm. And the significance of the baby dedications. I've seen both sides. I've been a mom who's been up there with the small child, and it's very hard to pay attention and to absorb what the vows are being said to you, because your mind is going, oh, please don't cry. Please don't throw up. Please don't embarrass me up here. Please don't. But as an audience member, congregant looking at families, I can also get a little frustrated going, pay attention. You know, they're all looking at the baby and they're smiling and it's like, this is serious. You're taking vows here. Mm-hmm. So I see both sides, but it was to me very heartwarming and significant to have us as a class just remember what the dedication was about, why we said it, what those vows were. And they were all really good. That last one was a super hard one, though, because I don't care about, it's hard to do that. What you were asking of us is if we do see, and the whole key was you're not confronting, you're doing it in a humble manner of addressing somebody when you see that they aren't.
You're trying to help. You're trying to help them remember their vows.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's so hard because whether it's marriage vows or kids vows, you're going, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm being nosy. Maybe I'm being, you know, you have 101 excuses why it's best that you just kind of leave them alone mm-hmm. in that area.
Yeah, well, and I think the vows were a lot like marriage vows in that sense that when you get married, I'm not sure how much the bride and the groom hear the vows, because there's so much else going on in mm-hmm. your head and you're worried that the ring bearer is going to fall down or whatever else. And a lot of different things in it. I mean, they're serious and it's a sacred moment, but at the same time,
there's a lot of distraction.
There's a lot of distractions
emotionally and tangibly around you.
And so, probably good for everybody to go back and look at their vows again and see what they really promised to do.
We have ours. What were ours?
That's a good question. I don't know. I was thinking of that when I was saying it. I mean, that's the other thing. When we're going through this and we're talking about parenting, I never want to give the idea that because we were perfect parents.
Shush.
I mean, there's a lot, and I'm conscious of that when we talk about things like this, that I think for me, I have regrets and I have things that I feel bad about. And that's not the point. Right. The point is not to make anybody feel bad about what happened as they parented and any relationship issues that are lingering still from that, but to realize that even at this stage of life, we have responsibilities as parents and we have responsibilities as grandparents now to love our children. It looks different. It comes out differently.
Right. Well, even when they're still in your home, your parenting changes all through the season. I think that's usually where parents have a hard time when they're still trying to parent their senior in high school, like they did their middle school or, you know, those season, how they connect, address, parent authority, all of that adjusts and changes as you go through the life seasons. And that doesn't change after they're grown and have kids of their own. You're not parenting them anymore, but you're still their parent.
Right.
There's still responsibilities there spiritually, I think, too.
I think one thing that Keller said that I didn't really spend any time on was the actual decision to have children and what.
That was really good in the book. I liked that. And I think that was a conversation we had earlier this week about that, because one of the things he says is that what this world's excuses tend to be and what the church's responses tend to be. And that was very true. Of course, they're not going to know what we're talking about.
Let me read you exactly what he said. He said, we live in a society that has been in a sharp decline in the birth rate. Liberals tend to blame economic factors and conservatives tend to point to the rising tide of selfishness. But then he goes on and says, but here really are the reasons here. I mean, we tend to.
And he gave, I think there were three reasons that were really not either one from the liberal camp or the conservative Christian camp. And they were really good reasons.
You know, right. One was we tend to define our own liberty negatively. We define being free as a lack of dependence or a lack of obligation. And so some don't want to have children because they don't want to be obligated. They want to be tied down to, and there's a lot of truth that there's a lot of obligation. There's a lot of, I think that's the big thing when we go from parenting small children to older children. When they're small, they follow you around. And when they're older, you tend to follow them around. And, you know, they have a lot of activities. And whereas when they're really small, they do your activities. Well, then suddenly there's a...
I don't remember what those other reasons were, but the only reason you mentioned kind of supported the Christian viewpoint, which is annoying as well, that you're just selfish if you don't want to have children.
Not the Christian viewpoint, but this conservative viewpoint.
Well, I hear my examples have been in the church context of where I'm saying.
Yeah. But that tends to be a largely conservative view, whether you're in the church or out of the church, of, you know, well, you're just being selfish. And like I said, I don't know that it's selfishness so much as, I mean, it is self-centeredness in a way, but to realize it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot of obligation. As he says, we can never choose or change our children. They are the last binding obligation in a culture that asks for almost no other permanent commitments at all. At the same time, and then he goes on and says that paradox, which is we want to be free from that obligation, but at the same time, we freely put so much into the emotional and financial thing of raising kids. I mean, it's almost, I don't want to say it's overparenting, but it's.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of overparenting in the society today, but.
Yeah.
At the same time, they're also turning a lot of parenting over to screens and teachers and not doing probably what they should be in a lot of areas. It's just too easy to, you know, let your screen. Mm-hmm. That was what the one scripture verse of, you know, when you're sitting, when you're rising, when you're walking, mm-hmm. that was one of the primary motivators for me many, many years ago when we chose to homeschool our kids was I am not going to have that time with them unless they are here. Mm-hmm. I don't think homeschooling is for everybody by any means, but that was a scripture verse that really resonated with my heart of I need that time to be able to plant those seeds and spend that time with them because that time is short and it's precious.
You brought up the, we prayed for those that are trying to have children mm-hmm. at the end. But I also mentioned the thing where a lot of women who prayed, who couldn't conceive, then prayed for a child, received the child, but they also received pain with that later. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, we prayed for them to receive children.
Right.
I don't know if that was confusing to people, but I brought up the thing about those children that were given to moms who couldn't conceive. One, because it never really dawned on me that Joseph was one of those kids. You know, you knew about Isaac because of Sarah, and you may have known about Jacob, but I never thought about Joseph.
How so?
I didn't dawn on me that his mom couldn't conceive until she.
Mm. Yeah, because there were so many other kids.
Yeah. I mean, he was down in the order, and her sister had had all the kids, and the servants had had kids, and she still didn't have a kid. So that was kind of interesting to me. But at the same time, it also points out that, you know, anytime you have children, it's a decision where you don't know, there's always going to be good times and there's going to be bad things mm-hmm. just because we're people.
Yeah.
And so you got to be ready for that. You know, that's going to happen. But the blessing still is there and still outweighs any negative there.
Yeah. Well, and in the comment that you made in the introduction that God created Adam and Eve, and then he turned over that responsibility of making humans to us. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty amazing.
It is. It is. We've gone quite a long time here. Anything else before we wrap it up?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. Well, this has been After Class. Thanks for staying after class. We hope to see you in class this next Sunday. Trudy is going to be talking about second birth. Thanks for joining us.